4:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday, and it is still toasty, man. We're still at 87 degrees, and from the looks of it, we might very well have some showers and thunderstorms rolling through a little bit later, but I don't have an ETA. I can't tell you what time they're going to show up, but if they do show up, just be aware of that. Tony Pham's going to be with us in just about 30 minutes. Tony, of course, served with Sheriff C.T. Woody at the Richmond City Sheriff's Office, which reminds me, there seems to be some sort of an organized, coordinated effort to steal the signs of William Burnett, who is running for sheriff against the incumbent sheriff. Something ain't right here. This is not the usual, oh, you know, it always happens every election season sort of stuff. You know, you get kids that steal things and it's no big deal. But when you've got 100 signs that go missing one time and then a specific targeted early polling place location that has all the Burnett signs taken, but nobody else's. Nobody else's. There's something going on there. So just something to be aware of. But anyway, so Tony, in addition to that, of course, served as President Trump's director of ICE during the first term. And he'll be with us, give us a little insight into what's going on in L.A. Our friend Craig Peterson joins us every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, Craig is here. We talk about Internet issues, especially staying safe online, and every once in a while, Craig's got one of those stories that I read, and I don't quite weep, but he does blow some of my preconceived notions out of the water, and that's one of the things this week. Craig, I appreciate you being here as always, sir.
Hey, thanks. It's always fun.
You have once again destroyed my mind's image of the cloud. I had this beautiful heavenly sort of image. There's a giant cloud with my information and photos of the kids and the puppies, and there's a guy, like, well, with a long beard and a gait and everything, but the cloud is just what, some goober's computer?
Yeah, exactly right. Now, you really describe what I think a lot of people think when you're talking about the cloud. And it's a problem because the cloud is just a word for someone else's computer. Just because something is in the cloud, whether it's your photos or your business with Microsoft 365 or Azure or Amazon, just because it's there doesn't mean it's safe. It's not safe from hackers. In fact, it's a bigger target than if you're running it in your own business. And the other big hallucination people have about the cloud is that it's cheaper. And sometimes it is, but most of the time, if you are a business and you have servers, you will find that it's cheaper to keep them in-house. So, yeah, do you want your data on a stranger's computer, or are you going to follow some of these other companies, multinationals, Jeff, that have had Microsoft lose all of their messaging, everything on SharePoint, and ended up suing Microsoft and basically lost because Microsoft says, hey, yeah, you didn't back it up. Just because it's on our computers doesn't mean it's safe.
Wow. All right. So does that mean that you have to go to one of these? Well, no, the data center would be somebody else's computer. So you just have to have your own in-house data center to keep your stuff?
Well, yeah, somebody else's computer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
At the very least, that's what you should do. So for our clients, we actually connect to their Microsoft instance. And Microsoft is right now kind of the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to small businesses and your email and sharing documents and team meetings and stuff. So we connect every day to their Microsoft cloud infrastructure, and we actually pull everything back into our data center so that we have a copy of it here. And then depending on the customer, if they want to make sure they're absolutely sure, positively, it'll still be there overnight, then we will encrypt it and push it up to another data center from another vendor. So like for Microsoft, we'll have a copy here, which makes it quicker for recovery, by the way, because we have all of the data right here in our offices. So we can go ahead and make new disks, make new machines, ship them out if the worst happens. And then we'll push it up to Amazon in encrypted cloud up there, encrypted before it even goes into the encrypted cloud, so that there's three copies. And that's the called the old 3-2-1 backup method. I should write something about that again. But yeah, it's, you got to have three copies, yeah, on different media and in different places in order to really be safe. And in this day and age, where the hosers are not just stealing our data, but are still ransoming it, you've got to have data that's offline, Jeff. Because if you hook up a USB drive to your computer and you're backing up your data from your computer to your USB drive, what do you think happens when the hoser starts his ransomware running on your PC? Your USB drive gets encrypted as well, and you're completely out of luck.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Now you mentioned moments ago, you said you have all of this information, all this data at your office so that you can prepare new disks. Are disks still a thing? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, they're not. Well, we do have spinning disks, and they are the best general, well, let me put it this way, the best fast technology for long-term data storage. So these SSDs, these silicone disks, if you will, that we have in our laptops, et cetera, they have a fairly high failure rate. And there's different grades of those as well. But the spinning disks, if you get the good ones, those spinning disks are going to be good for give or take a decade, maybe longer. Now, some businesses have been backing up over the years to CDs, you know, compact discs, or DVDs. And I've been warning about this for decades, but the problem is if you're using those CDs or DVDs to back up your data and use it for long-term storage, okay, it's great. It's immutable. It can't be erased, right? Unless it's a erasable disk.
But,
you know, there's this thing where with aluminum, where the aluminum inside the disk oxidizes. In other words, it rusts and is no longer readable. So there's so many businesses that just aren't paying attention. And I promise, Jeff, I'll put something together for people. But it's true for you. You know, all those cat pictures you have, Jeff, what would happen if you lost them all?
I would be distraught.
It would destroy my life. Yeah.
Serious. I wouldn't be able to do this show anymore. I'd be weeping quietly in a corner somewhere.
My brother, I won't tell you his name, but his initials are Paul.
Okay.
He has all of his family pictures. Now, he has an Apple computer, and so he has it backing up to Apple. Well, supposedly, right? And then he decided he was going to back it up to a local hard disk that he put onto his computer because that was cheaper than paying Apple, X dollars a month. Mm-hmm. And, it's cheaper. And I said, okay, well, you've got to use something like Backblaze. And people should check it out, backblaze.com. And I said, what it'll do now, you can set it up with your own encryption key. So Backblaze can't decrypt it. Even if it's stolen, it doesn't matter. And they're not going to lose your data. And it costs you $7 a month for unlimited storage. It's just amazing how cheap it is. And I've had to restore for my customers before. I've had to restore for myself. So my unnamed brother, Paul, didn't take my advice. They lost that little USB drive because usually those disk drives are terrible, right? They're really not good quality. So it went totally kaput on him. He shipped it to me. I opened it up. I was hoping maybe it was just the case and the logic in there. No, it was actually the drive itself. And he didn't follow my advice to spend $7 a month with Backblaze. And he had turned off his Apple backup. So now all of his family pictures for decades are completely gone, unrecoverable, unless you want to pay about $5,000 to have them recovered.
Well, those better be some good families. I'm not paying. Look, I love my kids, but I'm not spending an extra $5,000 to get their pictures back. I'm a terrible father. I know. I probably would spend half of that though on the puppies. I don't want to do this math in front of everybody. I'm going to look really bad, but I got to call Paul and find out if he had a good looking family. And now he's just got to look to them in person. God help us. Craig, you got to tell me about this AI stuff. and it's killing jobs potentially. I'm looking, by the way, so that everybody knows, I'm reading Craig's weekly newsletter. CraigPeterson.com is where you go to sign up for it, CraigPeterson.com. And he's got all sorts of great stuff every week. It's free of charge. But the AI, here's the bold. AI could eliminate half of all entry-level white-collar jobs within 5 years. Here's why that concerns me. Remember those pictures of kids I have? I have one of those kids who's now graduated with a big-time fancy degree from Stanford, who's staying with us because he's looking for a job. I mean, is he just, like, you know, out of luck?
Yeah, it's a tough world out there for anyone who's entering the job market. And frankly, a college degree really doesn't count for much anymore, because what matters is what you can do, what experience do you have, and being able to regurgitate in college gets you so far, but it doesn't get you that entry-level job. And now business after business is getting rid of so many of these entry-level positions that people can't get a job to get the experience to go with their degree in order to have a life, right, for to going forward. And it's particularly bad, this pain, in technical fields, like obviously computer science, finance. So my advice to everybody is, it doesn't matter what you graduated with or from where, become an AI expert. I don't mean you have to build AIs and understand how to do the tensor flows and everything else. I mean, understand prompts. How do you use and how do you make the best prompts? Those jobs have gone down from $250,000 a year annual salary to about $150,000. But they're still out there. And it doesn't matter if you're a finance person or computer tech or in the medical business, knowing how to use these artificial intelligences and use them efficiently and effectively is really big. In fact, this week, the University of California system announced they're giving every student ChatGPT right then and there to use in their classes. Their professors have made special GPTs for their classes, et cetera. But that's the advice, Jeff. I just don't care what you're in. You've got to learn how to use these things.
Fair enough. Hey, Craig, remind everybody, please, how they go to get signed up for your newsletter.
Absolutely. CraigPeterson.com for my free newsletter, CraigPeterson.com. And this whole article about secure cloud data, I've got point by point things you can do to help keep your data safe.
And Backblaze.com, good place to go. Unlimited storage, $7 a month. And I'll be looking at that as well. Craig, I always appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Craig Peterson. Please sign up for that newsletter, CraigPeterson.com, CraigPeterson.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.